We've been having an amazing discussion with Dr. Sunil Pai, MD. He is an integrative medicine specialist, something that really touches everybody's lives in a big way, on a personal level, but also, as we've learned, on a financial level as well. And that is heart disease, number one killer of men and women in the United States. And what we've learned basically up until this point, if you haven't been listening up until now, is that heart disease, the number one killer in the United States, the thing that costs of all the trillions of dollars that we spend on healthcare, something like $2.3 trillion on healthcare, almost half a trillion of that is spent on heart disease, treating heart disease in one way, shape, or form, even either by taking pharmaceutical drugs for it or in interventional procedures such as stents, angioplasty, open heart surgery. Something that on an individual basis will cost you, if you go and you have open heart surgery, over $100,000 to have. Something that will be the most painful thing you have ever experienced in your life. Literally ripping your sternum apart to expose your lungs and heart so that a vein taken from out of your leg can take the place of up to 5 coronary arteries because of blockages. Probably because you have already had a heart attack, but sometimes because you haven't even had one yet. So heart disease, which does all of these things for you, it is reversible. You can turn that baby around. U-turn. Reversible. Not just treatable and managed long-term like most medicine does nowadays, because the system is literally designed to keep you in that rut, but it is entirely reversible. And when we come back from our first break here, we're going to be talking to Dr. Sunil Pai about how heart disease can be reversed in a cheaper, less painful, and more permanent way right after this. You're listening to Let's Talk Las Cruces on KSNM 570. We're talking today about one of the number one killers, and actually, I see this as my way to influence the world in a better way by sharing what I've learned from you with our wider audience. Heart disease, reversible. How in the world can that be when it costs so much money for drugs, for these procedures? It's such a huge chunk of our healthcare spending, of the trillions of dollars. How is it possible? It's almost like the little kid in the emperor's new clothes who's sitting here saying, he's naked. You can reverse this. You don't need to do all this stuff. So how do we do it?
So it's not only reversible, it's doable, and we do it every day in our patients. And it's not only just me, myself. There's hundreds of doctors around the country that have been doing this for 20, 30 years. So we have physicians like Dean Ornish at Stanford University, who's published hundreds of studies of reversing heart disease. Dr. Esselstyn at Cleveland Clinic. We have Dr. McDougall. We have Dr. Furman. You know, Dr. Neil Barnhart from the Physicians Committee of Responsible Medicine. And myself, we do this every day with every single patient. So it's not that it's new. It's just that it's kind of new to the public because there's not really a voice or a place that we can go to explain to the public that there is another option, and that option is basically through natural therapies, diet, and lifestyle.
You said that the two biggest things, the two biggest factors that influence whether or not those genes that people have been misguided into believing dictate their entire health, and which is one of the reasons they feel so helpless, but that the two things that can either turn that gene on that's going to make them have heart disease or turn it off are food and your thoughts.
Absolutely.
So let's deal with the first, food.
So the number one thing that people need to do is first move what they call towards a plant-based diet, a whole foods plant-based diet.
Right.
So what that means in short is increasing the amount of plant proteins. Okay, so vegetables, grains, fruits, beans, and legumes. Okay?
But wait a minute. Plants don't have protein.
Absolutely, plants do.
Plants don't have protein. Oh, come on. Now, I know that I ask this in total sarcasm because I've known you for too long. But one of the biggest misconceptions that I hear people delusionally under is that the only protein out there is meat.
Right.
Meat's the only protein.
Right.
But you're telling me that plants have proteins.
No, so if anybody has taken a course in nutrition, which unfortunately most physicians have not done in the United States, and that's why this information is lacking here in the United States versus around the world, is that most of the world actually consumes more of a plant-based diet, meaning eating more plant-based proteins than animal proteins. Animal-based proteins have protein, but it does not have the antioxidants and the hundreds of phytonutrients that plants do. So I'll give you an example. Spinach, kale, chard, you know, beans, rice, soy, legumes, they all have protein, but they also have vitamins and minerals and antioxidants, where animal-based proteins are lacking that. They're just a protein source.
Okay, now let me stop you right there, because I have now just come upon my, I think, 12-year anniversary as being a personal certified personal trainer. I don't do it actively, but I maintain my certification. And I remember 12 years ago when I was doing all my education prior to becoming certified, you know, you always hear, well, the only complete protein, and a complete protein being proteins that contain all of the essential amino acids mm-hmm. for human life, the only complete proteins are animal protein. And therefore, those are superior to the plant-based proteins.
Right.
And I'm not going to get all those proteins from plants, because the only complete ones are animals.
And that theory has been debunked. And there was a book that was written in the 70s that kind of propagated that concept. And it went into our medical literature, went into even public policy. But now that we look at the rest of the world, is that we actually don't miss nutrients, meaning you can eat a complete plant-based protein. Those people who go completely to a full plant-based protein with no animal proteins, and yet there is some lacking of B12, for example, that might need to take, like someone who's a vegan might need to take a vitamin B12 supplement. But in terms of there's no deficiency in getting over total all nutrition, because the amount of calories as well that people need to consume. So we've debunked this kind of concept of, oh, you need protein. Because the interesting thing is that we eat the highest amount of animal-based proteins. Animal-based proteins are pro-inflammatory, meaning they cause inflammation. And now heart disease is understood as an inflammatory disease condition. Plant-based proteins are anti-inflammatory. So the more anti-inflammatory foods that people eat, the less inflammation, the less heart disease.
But wait a minute. Because I see all this marketing and the advertising that says this is lean meat, lean protein. It's lean. It doesn't have fat. So it's not bad. It's lean.
So they're talking about the amount of saturated fat or total fat. And yes, that is true, that the less amount of saturated fat that you can consume, the better for reducing your risk of plaque or cholesterol. The problem is the animal-based protein itself is a high omega-6, which is a pro-inflammatory modifier.
So even the lean protein,
high omega-6s are any animal-based proteins. So like, say for example, beef, pork, lamb, chicken, eggs, organ meats, they're high in arachidonic acid. Now, that doesn't mean that having a piece of it's a problem. The problem is that the average American's having way too much of it.
Right.
Okay, so I'll give an example. I'm having an upcoming book called Inflammation Nation that I'm writing, and when I'm doing my research, we're finding out that the average American in 1950 to 1960 were consuming basically a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s. Omega-3s are anti-inflammatory, like all the vegetables, all the grains, and actually fish as well. But now, as of 2012, the average American's consuming 40 times omega-6s than one omega-3. So eating 40 times of the foods that cause more inflammation. And part of the reason to do this is that the food is really cheap right now. So,
right.
You know, you can go to a fast food restaurant and get a dollar menu or, triple, quadruple cheeseburger for very inexpensive cost. And by driving it economically, people are eating more of these foods, and that's just causing more inflammatory diseases like heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and now neurodegenerative disorders like dementia. And right. Alzheimer's.
Now we've got we're gonna come back to this discussion, because there's much to cover. But we've got a caller on the line. Richard, are you there?
I'm here.
Do you have a question for Dr. Pai or a comment?
Well, yeah. 2 or 3 years ago, I saw Dr. Pai's father, and he saw I was taking Lipitor, and he mentioned the China study to me.
Right.
Well, then I went out and bought Eccleston's book, which is How to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. I went on that diet, and basically I'm still on it, and in about a year and a half, I lost 25 pounds. My blood sugar was down below 100.
Wonderful.
Now, get this. My total cholesterol was 100.
Wow.
My LDL was, HDL was 48, and my LDL was like 43.
Wow. Amazing,
and,
right?
And Eccleston, of course, maintains, I think you said this, Dr. Pai, that you get enough protein through the vegetables.
Absolutely. And in fact, the rest of the world predominantly consumes, you know, plant-based proteins as their main source of food. You know, it's only the United States, which is kind of just the opposite. But it's wonderful to see how quickly, just within a year or so, that I've influenced my father, who's in the ENT, to talk about cardiology to the patients. So it's wonderful. And some of my patients, I'll give you an example. We had a lady that came in with five-vessel coronary blockage, and she couldn't get a bypass or a stent. She was actually placed on the heart transplant list. So when we have patients that are like we call the walking dead, we have to say, you know, you got to be a little bit more strict on the diet, no animal protein. But then in 8 months, she had complete reversal of five vessels.
One thing I forgot to mention,
sure.
My cardiologist is now on the Esselstyn diet.
Wonderful.
No kidding. Good.
I'm glad you've influenced your physician.
No, I think he actually had heard about it before I went to see him.
I think we have a caller on the line. Another Richard, I believe is his name. Richard, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you have a question for Dr. Pai?
Yes. I was just turning on the radio, and I was listening to the radio and hearing this stuff. And wait, hold it. He's saying that this is reversible. I mean, is he saying this is a cure?
Actually, you know, with the evidence-based medicine that we practice, that is already in the literature for the last 20 years, is that heart disease is absolutely about 95% to 98% is completely reversible just by diet and lifestyle changes.
Well, I'm one of the people that did have a heart operation, open heart operation, and now I take medicine. Of course, I've changed my diet and all that good stuff. But when I ask questions about, well, how about this plaque that goes inside your arteries and stuff, can it go away? And I was told no.
Right. And actually that information is not as correct or updated as it should be. Not to say that, you know, having the bypass was wrong. Absolutely, when you needed to have an immediate procedure done or you had a blockage, that was good. But the thing is, what I enjoy about your calling here today is the understanding is that you actually have more empowerment. You actually have the information. And there's information out there that you can get via books and movies and coming to see physicians like me. And we can actually will work with you with a diet to actually hone in on that diet. The reason why sometimes patients don't get that information is because it's a disease management process. If you're, you know, if most cardiologists told their patients how to reverse their heart disease, then they wouldn't really have a business or a practice. And so the Richard that called before, thank God that his cardiologist is telling him to do that, because actually it makes a better relationship. Not that we don't want patients to go see the cardiologist. We just want you to see the cardiologist on better terms, meaning we want your plaques to be low. I want your cholesterol and your lipids and your angiograms to be more improved every time you go versus getting worse.
Can I ask just one more question?
Sure, go for it.
I heard that chicken is as bad as regular meat. Is that correct? Or
did you say that chicken was as bad as regular meat?
Right. Uh-huh.
So basically, you're wondering if it's true that, let's say, chicken is a more healthy meat to eat than beef or pork, for example?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're both
good question.
They're both still animal-based proteins. Now we do know that the red meat, which is beef and pork, actually have the highest omega-6s, which are more pro-inflammatory, but still just chicken itself. So if you were to eat an animal-based protein like chicken, we'd want it to be not fried, hopefully organic, not hormone and antibiotic-fed, a cleaner source of that, you know, but it still has omega-6s, so you still want to be reducing as much as you can, even the chicken.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason why when I heard that, I go, wait, what do you mean I'm changing everything, and now I got to get rid of chicken too.
Yeah, well, remember, you went through a pretty life-changing procedure. So when people think, a lot of people come up to me and they'll say, gosh, this is drastic. You know, do I have to stop eating chicken? Or, you know, do I have to stop eating my steak? I go, it's drastic having the chest cut open and the vein stripped and, you know, having rehab and taking 3 or 4 medications for your heart and having all these other issues of libido, blood pressure, you know, fatigue and discomfort. The idea is that, you know, changing your lifestyle, it's a lifestyle change. So I don't expect people to do it overnight, but they can. But over a few months, people just say, I just feel better now that I've removed that in my diet.
Just out of curiosity, Richard, if somebody said to you today that you're going to need another open heart surgery, because you know what it's like, you've been through that. If somebody said you need to go through another open heart surgery, or it's your choice, or you have to stop eating meat altogether, which would you choose?
I'd stop eating meat in a heartbeat.
That's actually a good thing for your heartbeat.
Exactly. Well, hey, Richard, thank you so much for calling in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for your help. Okay. It's been very informative, and I'm glad I tuned in to you guys. I appreciate your help.